Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is power playing at the highest level.
This is a flex.
I rate this on a willy waving scale. Yeah. Like, this is incredible.
Welcome back to the Squawker Talker podcast. I am back once again, your host Greg Johnson, joining me today to discuss, well, it's Neymar, isn't it? Let's not beat around the bush. Neymar to PSG has happened. We're going to cover that quite in depth with Carl Anker. You were popularly requested back on the pod, and you're here with us now. How are you doing?
Hey, true believers. I'm good.
Woke people.
This is gonna be interesting.
And what do you have to say to your popular fans out there that call for you to return to the Squawker Talk podcast?
It's good to be back. I really didn't expect to be talking about Neymar going to PSG. I really thought this wasn't going to happen.
We might have 10 minutes of that. Nick English is here as well.
Hello.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. Carl was just telling me before we came in here that he spent the three weeks on. Three last weeks of his podcast saying that Neymar to PSG isn't happening. So,
so thanks for tuning in. All the insights on the Squawker Talker this week.
Eating a lot of humble pie right now.
Just before we get into it, are there any other things that you think aren't going to happen in football over the next 2 weeks that we should note down?
I think Mbappe's staying at Monaco.
Okay, so which clubs are you going to?
Real Madrid, then, probably.
We're going to get into all that very, very shortly. But yeah, top of the agenda. I mean, as you probably listened to over the summer, we have had our little format where we've gone through big sign of the week, all the rest of it. We're going to put that to one side this week because obviously, as I said, as everyone knows, as we've all heard, Neymar's gone to PSG for €222 million. He's absolutely smashed the world transfer record, more than doubling what Man United paid for Paul Pogba last summer. I mean, that didn't last long, really.
Amazing.
Did it? So we're going to start the show, cover that extensively, get out of the way, and then move on to other things. But to start us off, Mourinho said good value for the most marketable player and, in his mind, best player in the world. Would you agree with that, Nick?
If he is the most marketable player in the world, is it good value? I mean, it's €250 million, pretty much. I mean, it's staggering, even by this market's sort of, you know, standards, any standards. I mean, tell you one thing for free, it's taken the attention off Paul Pogba for next season. I mean, wow. Like, it's so difficult to get your head around something like this. There's so many different angles. Will Neymar pay himself back in terms of just pure marketing value? There is a good chance that he will, because Paris is a hugely wealthy, affluent region in Europe. They love it flashy. They love the big name. They love being the center of attention in Paris. My whole family's from Paris. I'm not just being like casually xenophobic here. So I know. And like,
ironically, though, your surname is English.
Yeah, I know. But I'm legit. Trust me. French passport and everything. And you know, they're gonna sell millions and millions of Neymar 10 shirts. And I know, like, most of the profits go to club, blah blah blah. But
helps the brand, though.
It helps the brand. PSG have arrived. That was the whole point of this transfer. Mm. PSG have arrived on the world scene, and they've got, you know, the third best player in the world, the best player in the world in waiting, effectively, who's the third best player in the world while two of the greatest players of all time have been playing. So is it good value for money? I don't know if that can even be discussed in football anymore. I don't know if that concept exists, but as a marketing asset, huge gain.
Mm. Carl, what do you reckon?
Ryan O'Hallan, soccer journalist for The Ringer, pointed out you're paying a lot of money for to get the third best player in the world. You're getting his pre-peak, his peak, and his post-peak years. Because no one's going to buy Neymar. That's it. Neymar's done. He can't. He's not really leaving PSG. He can't go back to, well, outside the homecoming to Santos in 15 years. This is it. This is him for the next.
I think Inter Milan would always sign anyone. So he could still go to Inter Milan.
Yeah, but this is it. The next 10 years is Neymar at PSG. In any shape or form, and that guy's going to sell t-shirts. Like, that Neymar 10 is the shirt you're going to want to sell in emerging markets. If you're in the United States, you want a Neymar shirt. If you're in China, you're going to want a Neymar shirt. If you're in, you know, the West Africa, you're going to want a Neymar 10 shirt. That's Neymar 10 PSG has become the most sought after football shirt in world football probably now. And in terms of, is it value for money? I would mention this in discussion before about how this transfer window is silly season, so we don't know what value for money is. And to bring it down a bit, people talking about 50 million for Kyle Walker is ridiculous when we haven't discovered what 50 million is worth anymore in this market. Mm. We haven't had that consistent spend, because the next week, Mendy was 52 million. So we don't know what 50 million gets you in worth of player anymore, because we haven't had three transfer winners. Okay, 50 million gets you roughly a Champions League quality 12 to 25 caps for your country star player. We don't know anymore. Yeah.
But that brings us on to my next question, which is, how is this going to alter the idea of value, or not even value, just you know, benchmarks of how much players should be worth in this market? I mean, we've had a lot of questions, as you'd expect, even though I asked on Twitter, do not send me any more questions on Neymar. We got so many. So I've tried to try and basically boil them down into the general themes and topics that people are asking for. Do you remember when 30 million used to seem like an extreme transfer fee?
Yeah.
It seems casual now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is that without wanting to make footballers commodities, like the stock market as we perceive it, like the FTSE or whatever, it works because you can see how stock is performing in real time while you buy it and you sell it. You can't do that with footballers. So we have these windows where you're paying for footballers, and basically this huge amount of money has been ploughed into football from various sources, huge TV deals.
It's more like poker than stock market, isn't it, really?
In a way, yeah, but there's Carl's right. We have no understanding of what 20 million is worth in this market. I suspect that what's happened is that the step to go up from 20 million pounds worth of talent to what used to be called 30 million pounds worth of talent, that chasm has gone from, the difference is now between 20 and 50. Mm. And the difference between 30 and 50, now that's 50 and like 100 now. Mm. That's what seems to have happened, is to get that little notch up of class or notch up of marketability and that sort of thing has just added like such ridiculous amounts of money to transfers that we have no idea what is actually value for money. Is it value for money on the pitch? Is it value for money off the pitch? It's an incomprehensible concept.
Which brings us some interesting kind of, I guess, anomalies to some extent in this market at the moment. You've got players like Jean-Michel Seri at Nice, who is, his release clause is 40 million euros. You've got Steven Nzonzi, who I believe is, his release clause at Sevilla is 40 million euros. Mm. In relation to the figures being thrown around for guys like Neymar, I mean, Seri and Nzonzi, they're not top-level talents, but they're up there. They're Champions League-valued players. Yeah. So why are clubs not kind of looking at this and going, 40 million euros for these players is a bargain. We should be getting them now.
It's one of those. This is what's going to happen. I mean, normally what you have every single transfer window is, well, summer transfer window is, you have one big signing and that sort of reverberates around four or five different clubs. So last year you had Pogba go to Man United. Mm. Juve used that money to buy Higuain. Then Napoli used that money to buy Milic, and then Ajax used that money to go buy several people. But that's how it normally happens. Yeah. It normally, like, right.
So you have a food chain, isn't it?
Yeah, you have a food chain. You have, everyone this summer is going to go buy fullbacks. Mm-hmm. Everyone this summer is going to go buy this one.
But now you have the Qatari State Investment Fund basically coming in and going, oh, hang on, we're going to add what should be at the top of the food chain, kind of slightly beneath it, and just screw the whole system up.
It's fascinating, and I also want to raise the fact that I think, was it the PSG president who said, if anyone tries to buy Verratti, we're just going to buy their best player?
Yeah, that is this is power playing at the highest level.
This is a flex.
I rate this on a willy waving scale. Yeah. Like, this is incredible. Like,
what a flex. Do you know what's strange? How often we've had the phrase willy waving in the podcast?
That may be mainly because of me. I will be honest. Well, one thing I will say on the Seri and Nzonzi, the two perfect purchases for Barcelona, they need to revamp their midfield. Mm-hmm. Andre Gomez hasn't worked out. Rakitic is looking really old. Iniesta's declining. Busquets seems to not be able to have the sort of dominance in midfield that he could in previous years. I think this summer is going to be a test of that Barcelona board. Are they going to go, right, let's go crazy and buy like crap loads of players, because they already had money to start with. They didn't really need much more money. Or are they going to actually be sensible by the players that they need to become a Champions League winning force again? Because they've got great players. And if they build correctly around Messi and Suarez, they could be the best team in Europe again comfortably next year.
But it is a really, really, really vital summer. Because, I mean,
huge.
As much as they have got money, they're Barcelona, all the rest of it, behind the scenes, their wage structure is ridiculous.
Chaos.
Like the reason why they haven't been able to keep up with Real Madrid in terms of squad depth is the money they've got and the deals they've got in place for Messi, Suarez and until recently Neymar was basically crippling them for getting anything else in. And they've also got this new stadium to pay for as well. So now it's almost like this windfall is there is a bit make or break. They could go into a real period of kind of nothingness if they don't watch it. Really.
I think this is daunting. I think there is a very compelling argument for Barcelona to just lie dormant for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And basically, like,
yeah, we'll I agree.
Just, we'll you can't do that, though. Can you?
No, you can't. No, you can't. You obviously
this
can't.
This is the whole Louis van Gaal Man United argument again, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't let Real Madrid run roughshod for 5 years unchallenged. You have to make at least the semblance that you're making moves. But you should also just wait it out. Like, all right, we'll just. Let's just wait. Let's not get into this willy-waving competition with the rest of these clubs. Mm. Let City and whatever slug out for a bit and we'll develop a squad.
This is what Arsene Wenger was going to do at Arsenal, and then the market just kept getting crazier.
This is true. This is a very good counter.
You know,
it's a bizarre arms race, and every year we hope the bubble will burst, but it won't. Well, until people at home take the decision that actually, no, I don't want this much football. I don't want to do this. What? There is no... This will keep going and keep going and keep going. 100 million. I've said there was a good chance we'd break 100 million this transfer window. And now it's been...
Mbappe could still go for 160, 180 as well.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, just before we go on to more of the kind of squad building stuff and Barcelona, there is something other, a kind of an elephant in the room, as it were, and that's FFP. There's been a lot of criticism about its effectiveness, its purpose, all the rest of it with this, because, I mean, to those who are critical of PSG, they're basically, as La Liga have said, as Arsene Wenger said at other clubs previously, such as Manchester City and Chelsea, it's financial doping. They're basically having money coming in from an unfair source in terms of sporting advantage and all the rest of it, and they're basically just, you know, throwing their weight around. And isn't this what FFP should be doing to stop it? According to some reports, Neymar didn't even sign for PSG. Apparently, according to some people and some analysis, the money came from Qatar to his bank account. He paid for his own transfer from Barcelona and then technically joined PSG on a free.
Yep.
And therefore circumnavigating all of the issues of FFP in various ways.
Very smart.
It is very smart, but it's very clever. But is it fair, Nick?
No, of course not. It's not fair, but...
This is football. When is football fair?
This is football. This is also without wanting to sound... a bit cheesy, it's kind of life as well. Like, you know, we live in a world of offshore accounts and money stars, you know, stored in the Canary Islands and that sort of thing. The rules are, you know, laws are like pie crust, they're meant to be broken. And unfortunately, like, Neymar and Qataris have found a very clever way of getting around what seems to be a way of making fair transfers.
You know, and it's been done before.
I was going to say, I mean, take an example in La Liga. Real Madrid got a very, 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 very good price for those training facilities they weren't using a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah. The shoe's on the other foot for Barcelona as well. They've been getting away with murder on the transfer front for absolutely years.
I mean, those opposed to the Qatari World Cup bid would say they are literally been funded by some kind of industrialised murder them funded by that bid as well.
But you know, Barcelona had this coming. This is a good old dose of karma for them because they've taken talents from massive La Liga clubs by being really underhand, by using really aggressive PR and players, and for
or
them,
Pepe Reina putting a shirt physically on.
Yeah. And for Barcelona to lose a PR war obviously has damaged them because you've seen they've thrown everything PR wise at this and they've lost and they look so stupid
I mean, Bayern Munich did the same thing when I went to buy Javi Martinez woke up one day and he had 50 million euros in his bank account and Bayern went, guess you better buy yourself cut.
How about that?
Creative accounting. The PSG needs to thank their accountants because from what I'm hearing is the deal's being signed in Qatar, so they're paying no tax on the deal. Mm. Like, these turtles all the way down in terms of how much financial chicanery is being put into this deal. No, it's not fair, but this is football. Like, I support Manchester United, so I can't really point and moan and say whatever. Yeah. You have to, unfortunately, put up with this if you want to see some of the world's best players all play on the same team, and you want to see some of the world's best players pull off some of the things they can do week to week to week to week. You have to understand there is some underhanded stuff going on in the game of football, and that's up to you as a moral decision if you want to keep watching or not.
Until they centralise everything, this is going to keep happening. Mm. You know, this is exactly what would be happening in the NBA if it wasn't for the fact that they've had the commissioner and a draft system. And you know, the worst they can do in the NBA is that the guys can sort of collude to all agree to trade to the same team, which is kind of... It's really not that bad, to be honest, because there's salary caps and etc. Mm. One more thing on the PR disaster. PK, massive lol. Massive lol.
He stays.
So-called the greatest man on the planet. Like... I mean, stay in your lane, Gerrard. He had no idea. He got absolutely bodied there. He got absolutely bodied.
Speaking of wastelands, his Twitter account.
Oh.
The Barcelona fans, the Real Madrid fans, no one's very happy with him at the moment.
No, I mean there's a lot of nonsense being spouted on football Twitter, as you can imagine. But
on football Twitter, no, I can't believe that. Nick.
I enjoyed the half an hour where Barcelona fans tried to convince themselves Neymar wasn't good. That was a great weird.
Some people are still in that half an hour though. You know, at the Inception where they go three levels down in the dream, they're just there forever now. They're just going to be in there. And what is it when they go right to the bottom?
This is like time dilation.
Actually. Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
Exactly.
It's great.
An hour in Barcelona Denial Twitter is 3 years. it's that kind of thing going on. But on that note, we have had questions in. One from Mohamed Kursid, who asks, can Barcelona actually become better as a collective than they were last season by spending their 222 million windfall from selling this great individual to spend their squad and bulk it up? But basically, going back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
What do you make of that?
In theory, to wind it down to other clubs when this happens. So, you know, Spurs sold Bale for 35 million and then went up for 11 players to bulk up their squad and it didn't quite work out. Liverpool sold Suarez for 75 million to Barcelona and then went off to buy six or seven players and didn't work out. But there is form. So we've done this for two or three transfer windows. Mm. We're like, oh, it's fine. You can sell your best player, buy six players, bulk up the squad, and readdress your weaknesses in midfield and left back and right back. But what we've seen is it's very hard to get four or five players to all adjust in one transfer window and get them all together. It very often fails. Mm. And I think the best club to recover from selling a massive player for a lot of money is Juve. Go, all right, we've sold Pogba. Let's just go out and buy the next best player in this league.
Yeah.
For rather than buy six or seven players, just buy one great player and just go all in. Mm. But the problem with Barcelona is, one, who do you buy? Mm. Because you can't get Verratti.
You can get Coutinho though.
Mike.
I've pulled a very odd face there. Mike, you've shown your opinion on Philip Coutinho. Though.
Mike Goodman.
I think that was a glitch in the matrix.
Mike Goodman raised a really good point that the best transfer deal that's happened this season is no one realizing Christian Eriksen is just like.
The Stalker Talker recognised Christian Eriksen to Barcelona, and Ollie Young Miles, our Spurs expert, is very happy that only this room seems to have recognised. Yeah,
it's astonishing.
I feel.
£11 million.
It's
pounds,
very dangerous for me to keep talking this into existence. Like, to even say it out loud, I feel it's going to hurt my Spurs fans.
You have Spurs fans. Impressive.
You can imagine, like, Seri and Zonzi and Christian Eriksen, you've not even spent £100 million, and you've got a brand new midfield which is going to last you 6 years. And that can challenge.
That'd be great, but this is real life. This is Football Manager. And also, it's one thing to have 222 million in your back pocket, but now everyone in world football knows you have it.
Yeah, that's what Wenger said. He's like, all of a sudden, when you have money, people are less willing to talk to you, you know. And I have a sneaky feeling Barcelona are going to be much more focused on salvaging their PR reputation and their sort of brand than they are actually building a proper team. Yeah.
Well, does this mean Mbappe to Barcelona could be a go? Because if you want to make some kind of power move to try and salvage some kind of, you know, sign of strength from this, to then go back to Ligue 1 and sign like the hottest teenager in world football, a player who Real Madrid apparently wants to go to Real Madrid. Yeah. If you want to win a PR battle, that's one way to do it, isn't it?
There's one way to do it, but again, that would come at the cost of the team. They need other things. They need another winger, quite clearly. They need someone like Dembele or Coutinho. So I think that's what they're going to make a huge mistake. I believe that's what's going to happen.
But that's okay. It's okay if Barcelona make a mistake in this immediate transfer window because Messi's still Messi.
But as we said earlier, after this window, they're going to have to deal with this new stadium, and that's going to cost loads. They've still got these kind of financial issues in the back where they haven't really, you know, built their wage structure very smartly compared to Real Madrid and other super clubs as it is. So, I mean, it feels like if they do make a mistake, it might not hurt them in the very short term because, as you say, Messi's still there.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They're not going to be in a position to do an overhaul again, maybe, in the next 5 years, and that could really pull them over, maybe.
Yeah. It feels weird to keep making comparisons to the Spurs and Liverpool, but this is the Bale window. Yeah. Where, you know, if you talk to a Spurs fan, they go, that was a once in a life generation time. We had 110 million and we spent it on like tier three players when we should have gone out and just gone, let's get go to the next level. And
well, all right then, in that case then, who are the tier one players? If you were Barcelona right now, who would you go and sign?
Like, I'd park a dump truck full of money outside Daniel Levy's house and ask for Christian Eriksen, and he's probably going to tell him to go away.
But then who's going to play left wing?
This is I'm going to have to do some very underhanded things. So I think what's very interesting here is Real Madrid can completely play havoc with Barcelona right now. Because not only are Real Madrid going, right, we have to buy players, Real Madrid can also go, oh, Barcelona want someone else. Let's put a bid in and raise that money up.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're hearing this thing.
It's the Chelsea Mohamed Salah tactical over again, isn't it?
We're hearing about how Barcelona want to buy Ousmane Dembele. Real Madrid can just go, all right, there's 50 million for him just to make Barcelona spend 70. And Real Madrid are just twirling their evil mustache.
I doubt Dortmund would ask for anything less than, I mean, Mbappe money or more for Dembele.
Yeah, I think they probably
in this market, knowing that Barcelona desperate,
it'd probably be like 100-120. So hard to theorize. But if I was Barcelona, you could kill two birds by one stone. Perfect replacement for Neymar, and get something a bit different in your team, and get a massive PR win just by Eden Hazard.
It'll be triple figures.
Just go ham on buying Eden Hazard.
Well, how much would that cost?
It's so much money, but they like. It would be an incredible signing for them.
Wouldn't it be like Neymar money? Abramovich
does
not
need Neymar money.
To...
I don't think it'd be Neymar money.
Hazard's 120 million in this market.
So confidently.
I am really sorry. I admire the assertiveness now.
He's 100 million plus.
I think he's close to 200 million. And this is, we're now kind of in a game of hypotheticals, but I don't know. I think if Coutinho's going for that money, it's not about quality. It's about the circumstances of the player. And given how financially secure Chelsea are, given how important he is to them, they don't need to sell. He's on a good contract.
But I'm thinking if there's tier one players that Barcelona should be looking at, I think Eden Hazard is the one. There's not that many that you think are actually properly gettable.
Do you know who I actually think is maybe gettable for a decent, still a high amount of money, but decent, and is kind of similar to what Neymar can provide? I mean, okay, this might be my biases as a Premier League watcher, but Anthony Martial?
No.
No?
He's okay.
Good player.
Left wing?
He'll do a job.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
I'm thinking in the sense that United signed Antonio Valencia and Gabriel Obertan and just about made it cope without Ronaldo. Mm. I mean,
that
compared to Neymar...
That added an extra workload to Wayne Rooney, which now...
I'm pretty sure Messi's going to have to pick up the slack, isn't he? But what I'm trying to say is, could Anthony Martial be to Neymar what Antonio Valencia was to Cristiano Ronaldo?
No, not even close. I think Martial's a great player, but he's an instinctive finisher. He really shouldn't be playing out wide, in my opinion.
I'm not sure about that.
And he's got nowhere near the creativity that Neymar brings to the table. They need someone who can create chances, be a man, and also be an outlet on the break. There's very few players who can do that. Ousmane Dembele is a really obvious one, but if they want to go
Ousmane Dembele's still green, he's still raw. What you got to bear in mind, like, Neymar...
Oh, Ivan Perisic, there we go. There's one. Imagine that, eh?
Like Neymar's last 10 minutes against PSG in the 6-1 are as close to a perfect 10 minutes you'll get from an attacking player. That was generational talent, generational performance. That is ice cold, ice in the box. Just like, I'm going to do what needs to be done to pull off the impossible. And there are maybe five players in the world that can do that. And of those five players, some of them play for Real Madrid, some of them play for Chelsea, and some of them play for PSG. Like Barcelona... They're going to have to go shopping in Tesco rather than Waitrose right now. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Every little helps. Is that the one? I can't remember. I can't remember which supermarket is using what branding these days. We'll move on. But before we do, just to stay in Spain, because I've had a question as well on Real Madrid from Nicola, who asks, should Real replace their departures with academy players? Or now that Barcelona weakened a bit, like what we were saying, should they be going all out to sign players that Barcelona might want to sign instead?
No, I think Real Madrid should keep doing what they're doing, and that's keep building probably one of the best squads that's ever existed in football.
I mean, it's weird how the dynamics flip, because it used to be that Barcelona had the squad and they didn't have to really buy anyone, and Real Madrid go, we'll buy all the talent, it'll be fine.
Yeah, this is the thing. Barcelona have been low-key. I've been having dreadful transfer window after dreadful transfer window. I think they're...
Pep couldn't pick a player.
Yeah. I think they're in big trouble, Barcelona. Real Madrid, on the flip side, great balance of experience and youth. The one thing you could argue is they need another backup striker. Killing Mbappe would be a great addition. You could blood him through really, really slowly. He'd love to play under Zidane. He's clearly a Real Madrid fan. If I was Real Madrid, I'd just keep keep doing what you're doing. You've got back-to-back Champions League titles. You've got the best midfield in the world. Mm. You know, you've got incredible centre-backs with experience and who are not too old. Great full-backs. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. Maybe add De Gea to, you know, cherry on the cake.
Yeah, that's
you know,
it.
Like,
that's it.
Keep doing what you're doing. Don't try and chase Barca.
Just a little bit of snide brinksmanship. That's all I want. That's all I want. Don't buy anyone.
Yeah.
Just let Barca think you're going to buy someone to raise up their prices.
But then the thing is, I mean, Neymar's release clause was surprisingly low for a player of his quality. You look at Real Madrid's release clauses, they're in like the billions because,
yeah,
you know, they've done that. Maybe if they really wanted to kind of rub some salt in the wound, maybe they go and throw down some money and do a Figo again.
But who'd you get?
I don't know. Doesn't matter, does it? Just to twist it in a little bit more.
No, yeah. Steer clear.
Steer clear. Steer clear. You're fine. You're fine.
But on a similar note, PSG could and are likely to let a few of their players go. And there's talk of Matuidi leaving, Kotrovac. I mean, they won't clear the whole Neymar money, obviously, but it will help to bring down the wage bill. The players that haven't really got a place in the team by the looks of it. If you could pick any player from PSG that could be leaving this summer to go to a club, who would it be and where and why?
Well, see, the thing about PSG is they have a lot of players in their late. They're doing that sort of thing that City did when they came up,
yeah,
where you buy a lot of players who are great now in between 28 to 30, and now some of those players are approaching their 30. So you've got Di Maria's coming up to 30. You've got other players I cannot name right now because I've had a brain fart. But their academy seems great. I mean, the centre-backs they were playing in the Champions League seemed amazing, and I'd love... PSG aren't going to sell those, but I'd love one of those guys to come to Manchester United. They would be fantastic. Heck, they could probably shift Draxler for 30 million for fun now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we wrote a piece saying how they could line up, and every mention of Lucas Moura is like, why is Draxler there instead? So I think PSG fans like Draxler.
Yeah.
I don't think Lucas Moura is going to leave, because he does a lot of defensive work that goes unnoticed as well. But is there anyone in the PSG squad that you think could be on their way out and be worth picking up, Nick?
I think Matuidi is probably the most obvious one there. He's a really interesting midfielder. He seems tailor-made for the Premier League as well. He seems like the sort of guy who I think Arsenal should go for. Matuidi.
I mean, you look
Matuidi and Xhaka would be a great combo.
I'm looking at Chelsea and I'm seeing a big Matuidi-shaped hole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's the source of Matuidi and Kante. Goodness.
Serge Aurier is... had problems with the PSG setup, and I'm surprised he's still there.
I mean, if he didn't have the talent he did, he would probably not be a professional footballer anymore. And I know that's an obvious thing to say, but
this is very true.
His behaviour, his conduct, his views, let's say.
Spurs should probably pick him up.
I don't think Pochettino would stand for any of it, would he?
Well, you know, you try and coach that out of it. But yeah, there's probably a few fringe players there that are... But I reckon most of them are going to want to stay around for a year, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Neymar's such a game changer for them. You know, and Unai Emery is very, very good in cup competitions as a manager. So, you know, realistically...
At least on the home legs.
this is the thing, is that, you know, it really wasn't his fault that his team fell apart in that second leg. I mean, he must have been absolutely livid.
I think the home leg against PSG is the only game in which Neymar's played against PSG for Barcelona in which he hasn't scored or assisted. So they've taken out one of the big hurdles for PSG to win the Champions League by signing him. So an interesting one to see how that develops because, I mean, let's be honest, €222 million, we're not going to be able to take our eyes off him. So that's definitely one we're going to be looking at for the rest of the season to come. But I think that's enough Neymar talk now. We're going to move on to the other things going on in football this week.
Other things?
Heading into the season. Just a quick one. I know we've talked about this pretty much every single week this summer because Man United fans are very keen to hear what's going to happen with their midfield. But the Manu Matic to Man United, all done. He's also made his debut in a pre-season friendly against Sampdoria in Dublin. He played 45 minutes, looked fairly comfortable, but not a real test. We've had a question from Wiz on Twitter who asks, how should Chelsea replace Matic?
They bought Bakayoko, it's done.
But they've also lost Shalabar. They're looking a bit light in numbers, aren't they?
Nah, it's fine.
I mean, while I respect your opinion, Antonio Conte basically contradicted you in his press conference today, saying that his squad's too small, he needs more players, he doesn't want to sign a Neymar, he wants more depth.
He needs a backup. But
let's talk of Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah, as a backup, he can do a job.
he can play.
I don't think he needs another starter. I think that's fine. You've got Fabregas as well.
Yeah.
Best impact sub in Europe, probably. I think they're okay. They just need another body. So,
well, who should that body be besides Blaisman Tweedy?
Really, it should be Chalobah or Loftus-Cheek, but obviously they wanted more first team football and thankfully they're going to get it. So find someone else. Go shopping.
Nick, I'm sorry. I need to repeat the question. I'm asking you to find us that someone else. Who should they sign?
Matuidi. We just talked about
it. I just said no Matuidi. We need another name.
All right, Seri.
All right.
Drink water.
No, there we go. Nzonzi.
Actually,
Nzonzi would be a great fit.
Nzonzi would be a great fit. Would. They could look around the Premier League for someone as well.
Mm. What about Krychowiak if he does leave PSG?
Yeah, Krychowiak would be interesting. Yeah, he'd probably do well under Conte as well.
Yeah. Any more shouts from you, Carl?
I still really think they're fine. All right.
I won't labour.
You've got the Energizer Bunny in Kante, you've got Fabregas, and you've got Bakayoko. And then I am assuming that Conte's a smart man and knows how to mix up his dishes, so he only has to play two. He'll rejig his midfield so he doesn't seem too intensive in the creative areas, I believe. Right. I really think Chelsea's going to be fine.
There we go. You've heard it here first. We're going to move on now to the Audi Cup. We've had the Emirates Cup last weekend, where Arsenal somehow won despite not winning the most games in their own competition. Very strange. But Liverpool lost out to Atletico Madrid in the final of the Audi Cup, where Bayern lost both matches at their own tournament and losing by an aggregate score of 5-0. Mm. Carlo Ancelotti has now got James Rodriguez and Thiago Alcantara and Juan Bernat and David Alaba all on the injury list. Manuel Neuer is coming back to start the season, not going to be fully fit. Pretty terrible preseason all round for the German champions. But True Blue asks, who has looked the strongest team in preseason and who's had the best preseason, basically? Carl?
So I'm a firm proponent of goals in preseason don't count. I'm a firm proponent of it's not your debut if it's preseason. A preseason's a friendly. No, I don't particularly pay too much attention to preseason stuff. Until the transfer window's shut. But to completely contradict what I've just said,
that's what we like on the Squawker Talker.
Yeah. I have liked Manchester United. I think they were pretty good on the United tour.
Who do you support again?
I support Manchester United. So they're the team I've been watching most. I have liked the look of Liverpool. I found Klopp's comments after the Audi Cup final interesting about how they were trying to play football and Atletico Madrid weren't. They wanted to win a game. Where I'm like, mate, it's a friendly. Why are you getting mad about a friendly? Liverpool have been looking very interesting, and that Salah is looking tasty.
And Mane does not look fazed at all by being moved to the left. In fact, it looks more dangerous than ever.
It possibly could be the best front three in the Prem.
Need sort of defence out, don't they?
Yeah, it's pretty dynamic front three they've got there, especially with Coutinho deeper. Like that pass for the Salah goal was woof.
Weirdly, it's woof. Almost a version of what Man United are trying to do in terms of they got Pogba to hit all the movement with Rashford and Lukaku. Mm. Liverpool have got Coutinho to hit all the movement of Salah and Firmino. Solanke as well, I think, has been looking very
looking great.
He's great running off the ball.
Yeah.
I think Napoli have been incredible in pre-season. For some reason, I ended up watching both of their games in the Audi Cup and just amazing organisation-wise. That is a left field shout for Serie A champions this season, I reckon. They're incredible.
I mean, as you may have heard, they've been drawn with Nice in the final qualifying playoff.
Brutal.
For the Champions League group stage. Whoever loses that will drop into the Europa League.
They're
going to
bury them.
Do you reckon?
They're going to bury them.
It's going to be a great tie, though, I think.
It's going to be great to watch, but they're going to bury them.
Liverpool drew Hoffenheim in the other, I'd say, notable.
So mean.
Tricky one.
Yeah, tricky one.
Tricky one. Firmino
Liverpool,
derby.
Liverpool be fine.
I do think they will, because, I mean, Nagelsmann is a great coach, and Hoffenheim have got some good players. Dembele is a very interesting midfielder, but they've lost Rudy, they've lost Sula to Bayern
Munich.
Yeah,
they lost Sula, that's a big
one. So it kind of feels like they've lost two of their most sturdy players in that team. So I'm expecting Liverpool, with their incredible attack, to really do some damage there. But moving now, speaking of pre-season friendlies, it's the Community Shield this weekend, you might have heard. Koscielny and Moses have been cleared to play in spite of their suspensions because this is official. It's a friendly, according to the Football Association, the English Football Association. Clarity at last, do you think, what do you make of these comments?
I'm a Man United fan. And
was it a treble call?
I was fuming when Jose said it was three titles. It was not three titles. The Community Shield absolutely does not count as a title.
Yeah.
You get like 12 substitutes, don't you?
It's a very nice amuse-bouche for the season.
It's the canapé of football.
It doesn't outstay its welcome. It goes straight to penalties after 90 minutes. It's pleasant.
I mean, I think for me, the fact that in the past you could share it if you drew kind of sums up that it's not a real competition.
You could what?
Yeah. The amount of times the Community Shield
Arsenal
or the Charity
and United
Shield,
have like three shared Community Shields.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, it was basically just a ceremonial kind of traditional curtain raiser to make a load of money for charity. It was never an actual competition.
Yeah, it's just
an exhibition match.
There's only one person who's ever been sent off in a charity in the Community Shield, and that was Kevin Keegan.
What a hero.
What a man. And because he got stamped on, I think he headbutted someone to retaliate.
That's fair enough.
Getting sent off in friendlies is hilarious.
Mm. It's a friendly. You get great goals in it. Do you remember that goal that Momo Sissoko scored for Liverpool? Unreal.
Chicharito. Oh, God, I've just used his nickname. I hate using his nickname.
That's fine.
Javier Hernandez kicking the ball into his own face was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a highlight.
That's finishing.
Giroud scored one of the best goals I think I've ever seen anyone score in the Community Shield a few years back. It just went under the radar. It was incredible.
Which ruined him. It ruined him for the start of that season, because Giroud's one of those strikers where he'll keep trying something, and if it comes off once, he's like, gonna do that for 10 times in a row.
Yeah, squeaking kick did that.
Do you remember the Community Shield when Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain became Michael Ballack?
That was great.
It was beautiful to watch.
It was quite something.
He still could be.
He still could do it this year as
well. 3-2 against the 3-2 United Manchester Derby was fantastic.
Oh, that actually was a fantastic game.
It's always a good game. This is the thing. The Community Shield is always a great game, so we got that going for it.
Mm. We're
going
to move on now because we're going to talk about some competitive football now. the team focus this week, because we kind of covered all the top six, covered Everton, done a few European things as well. I thought we'd go the other way, and rather than look at one specific team, I want to hear from you guys basically two observations you've each made from relegation battles of the past to tell me what Huddersfield, Brighton and Newcastle need to do to stay up and establish themselves in the Premier League this season. Nick, I'm going to come to you first.
Mine is, don't be afraid to ditch your top scorer in the previous season. Mm-hmm. It might seem ruthless, but it's not a bad thing to do. Mm. The season that Leicester went up, Jamie Vardy wasn't top scorer for Leicester. It was David Nugent. And Pearson, Mr. Ostrich, wisely decided, you know what, Nugent's not good enough. Mm. Jamie Vardy's got the skill set that might work better in the Premier League. So you might not have a top scorer, but make sure that you think he's the sort of guy that will do well in the Premier League. Newcastle have obviously identified that with Dwight Gayle. They're chasing Lucas Perez hard, which I think is a really smart move. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the list of previous top scorers in the Championship, it goes Chris Wood, Gray, Murphy, Glenn Murray, Ricky Lambert, Danny Graham, Maynard and Ebanks Blake. Mm. Maybe only two of those have scored more than 10 Premier League goals in a single season. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily an indicator that, you know, your top scorer in the Championship is going to go in the Premier League and smash it up.
I like to call it the Jordan Rhodes paradox.
Exactly.
Yes, that's a very good.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's always up there in the Championship, but a team's never going to give him the chance of the Premier League, because he's just, there's a certain level of, if you become a pure goal scorer but you haven't quite got the rest of your game to play at the top level.
It's a different league. Mm. It's so much of a different league. With all due respect to the Championship, which is brilliant to watch and really competitive, it's a very, very different league in terms of the style of football that works for
and
goal
I guess
scorers.
In that sense, Huddersfield have stolen the march, really, because they've signed Steve Mounet, who I think he won more, only Christian Benteke won more headed duels than any other player in Europe's top five leagues last season. West Ham wanted him. Huddersfield beat them to the punch. Very interesting signing for them. Very good, very mobile attacker up front for David Wagner's side. What's your observation, Carl? Your first one.
You need to stick to your system. Like, you don't. The worst thing you can do if you've got promoted playing a certain style of football, the worst thing you can do is just spend the entire summer being like, no, we're going to try and play cute next year. Like, you need. Someone once told me your plan B always has to be airtight. Your plan A can be whatever, but your plan B always has to be airtight. You always have to have an escape plan. Plan A's can be waffly. Mm. Plan B's have to be well rehearsed. You have to know what to do when it all hits the fan. So I wouldn't, if you're a Newcastle team, don't start changing up what got you there. Mm. Like, be prepared to play nasty a little bit.
Mm. And to that, I'd probably say Benitez is probably the best place for that, though, really, isn't he? Yeah.
That's what Eddie Howe did with Bournemouth when, like, Callum Wilson and all his players got injured. He's like, I've got to come up with something different here. Mm. And he did, and it worked brilliantly. Mm. They got what they needed. And then he went back to his plan A when all his players were fit again and he could recruit properly. So,
and it does work really well, to be fair. And I mean, I'd probably say the ultimate example of this is Swansea. Mm. They came up with the Swansea loaner thing. I remember in that summer when they came up, everyone going, but they're gonna have to compromise. They're going to have to adapt to the Premier League, aren't they? They didn't. And they were fantastic.
Leon
and they fully
Britain.
Established themselves. Absolutely. Absolutely. Roque Meza is the new Leon Britton, as we've been told. So that's two down. Nick's, what's your third? Well, I'd say the pod's third. Your second observation.
Yeah, mine's more to do with mass recruitment. Because every team that comes up, you know, there's a need to recruit players so that your team is better. And I would say that very often I think the trap that promoted teams fall into is that they buy five or six sort of players who've just played in the Premier League, you know, and they're just players who have, like, you know, they're established names. QPR have done it in the past.
Yeah.
Wolves have done it in the past. West Brom used to do that years and years ago when they were a yo-yo club. Mm. And they just get in guys who were just getting relegated every season. And I just think that's a really...
Yeah, the wrong kind of experience.
It's like hiring Ian Dowie. Like, it's just the wrong way of going about it. What I much prefer is when teams take punts and they go, right, we're going to take six or seven gambles on players. Mm. Let's hope that two or three of them pay off. Mm. And that will probably be enough to carry you through. Mm. You know, that's what... You know, Leicester did, but to obviously a ridiculous degree of success. Yeah, you know, nobody saw that coming. But they basically said, "Right, we've got a system of recruitment here. We're gonna go for this and see what comes of it." It turned out that five or six of their gambles paid off, as opposed to two or three. Mm. So I'd much rather that than you just like, "Oh well, let's sign Kevin Nolan." You know, it's like, well, yes, you could sign Kevin Nolan, but what's the point? You know,
yeah.
He's not going to be good enough.
Well, I'd probably say Huddersfield and Brighton have taken the approach you're talking about there. They've gone for
exactly,
some...
Exactly, yeah.
Mm. I mean, Pascal Gross, I think, was the highest, most chance creator for a defender in the Bundesliga last season,
yeah,
I think.
They've made some really interesting signings. Yeah. I do worry that Huddersfield have been a bit too rogue, but we'll see. I'm ready to be proved wrong.
I think it was that famous quote about the when Fulham got relegated, their squad was too weird.
Yeah. It was so weird. That's
not bad, just weird.
Yeah.
Such a strange... Sometimes in the office, we play a game, you know this. Can you name every player in like the 2008-2009 Fulham squad? And everyone's just there for hours. Who?
Yeah.
And you look through the list of players and it's bonkers. Yeah. It's absolutely...
Technically, that season they got relegated, the amount of managers they had. Because there was that point where they had Moon's team, but they also had... what's his name? They had
McGath.
Two... No, they had McGaff, but before that, they had Moonsey, and then two managers above him as like consultants, so it were technically managers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
was
yeah.
absolutely nuts.
Strange.
Very strange time. What's your second observation, Carl?
Remember, it's a World Cup season. It's a World Cup season. Players are going to be agitating.
Will give you the floor.
Yeah, one of the best pieces of advice Alan Shearer gave on Match of the Day was when he said the January transfer window before an international tournament. You want to buy a striker, like the second or third choice striker for an international team. So you want to buy Germany's third best striker. So a player who needs to have that great 6 months so they can get to the German nationals team. Like that's what you want to do. You want to buy someone who is like, oh, I've scored 10 goals this season. I need to score 20 more, 15 more. I think if you're of the betting persuasion, I would bet money on a Belgian finishing with the Golden Boot this year, because you've got Lukaku, you've got Benteke, you've got Origi, you've got someone else who I'm forgetting.
No, I don't think there's another notable Belgian striker.
He's not a striker, but Morales.
You've got Morales. Yeah, why not?
De Bruyne.
You've got De Bruyne. You've got a lot of Belgian players in the Premier League and there's only one spot. There's only going to be one tip of that spear. Like Roberto Martinez could do a lot of Premier League teams a favour by going, this is the formation I'm going to be playing at the World Cup. Have fun.
A lot of French strikers as well, on a similar note.
There's a whole argument as to the reason why Giroud could go to Everton is because...
I'm very surprised that Everton haven't just gone full whack Giroud, because he's going to have the season of his life.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he loves playing for France. His record for France is incredible.
So that is my tip for... all clubs in the Premier League, really.
Well, I mean, it's a nice way of linking, because we are going to move to the other end of the Premier League now, because I've had a question from Amam Kanaif, who asks, which top six side do you think will fail this season?
What do you define fail? Like coming
fail, think, fail think, means not finishing
fail,
top four.
Well, it can do. I think fail is there for you to define in your own...
I'm going to define fail as not meet expectations. That's how I'm going to define fail. And
it's going to be a long answer.
No. And I think that given where everyone's expectations are, I think Chelsea are most at risk. I think
Conte does sound very kind of disappointed by their business, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's right to, because I think...
Missing Hazard as well for the first month as well.
Yeah, they've got Morata, but really they want Morata in a year's time. I think he needs like a year of games under his belt to really be the force that everyone wants him to be, although ready to be proved wrong.
Mm. But I think they want to sign another striker as well.
Yeah, well... Good. I mean, I think Batshuayi is quite good, actually, personally. But
don't you play him, for the love of God.
That's the other guy I was thinking about.
I think Conte wants three rather than two. I don't think he wants to replace anyone. I think he wants more another striker.
Fair enough. I just think that the squad is a bit thin. Mm. I think there's some obvious flaws in that squad. And I think that with the games piling up, two or three injuries might hurt them more than people realise. And can Kante keep this up forever and ever and ever. I really want him to, but is he going to? Mm. Like, yeah, I think they're probably the most at risk of not meeting expectations.
Fair enough. What's your team to fail from the top six?
Okay, let's really break this down. So I think three teams of the top six are going in to win the Premier League. So Manchester clubs and Chelsea all have realistic hopes to win that one. Of those three, I think United are most likely to fail. I'm still not seeing it with Jose.
Ooh.
But you said they've had the best preseason.
I see.
Preseason doesn't count. Goals in preseason doesn't count.
He did caveat.
This is true. I'm so consistent.
I'm still not seeing it. I can see him trying to play Jose ball, but I can also see him just eventually ostracizing everyone because he's Jose. City can go one or either way, where the fullbacks could click and Gabriel Jesus and Negreira can do whatever, but also he can play that ridiculous rotation that ruins everyone's fantasy football.
I do think
he's
only, I know it's a cliche and everyone's been saying it since forever, but I do think they need another centre back. I really do.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
And as in to the point where I think they will make or break whether they are truly runaway title contenders or iffy.
Stones, Kompany and Otamendi isn't good enough.
But Stones and Otamendi, because Kompany cannot be relied on to stay fit.
That's the thing. I want to say City are the favourites, but they're probably not.
Rumour is Yaya Toure is going to be third choice centre back.
So. Oh mate, I'm sorry, but I want to see that. I just want Pep going. You doubted me. Let's go, real Pep. Let's do this. Let's do this right now.
I'm going full bald.
For listeners who are uninitiated, there's an incredible running joke that our followers, our non-Man City supporting followers, will respond to anything Man City related on our Twitter account with Pep is bald or Pep is a bald fraud. Yeah. Yeah. So look out for that. Carl, sorry, what were you saying?
Liverpool interesting because Liverpool fans. I feel as if Liverpool fans think they're going to make a title challenge. I feel as if Klopp would be very happy with top four. Mm. And I feel as if everything can fall apart and they finish outside of top four.
One of the most patronising answers I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, I think Liverpool, their first 11 stays fit. That's a title challenging team. The problem is they don't have the squad for it, they don't have the depth. And I think you're completely right. I think Klopp feels like he's in a rock and a hard place because he's done such great work to make this first 11 really good, but he just does not have the depth to sustain the level that he needs to keep his team playing at. And they're like a shark, Liverpool. When they're going forward full on, they're great. As soon as they start to drown. It's... Their gills are set to gegenpress and nothing
else. That's a team in transition. Liverpool are going to be the force they need that Klopp wants them to be in another season or two.
They're similar to Spurs in that they so massively overachieved and they're so ahead of schedule that you've got sections of their fandom who are going, no, we are now good enough to go toe to toe with the best in England and Europe, and you're going, you're not. You should be happy with this now.
The problem we've got is in the same way that value doesn't exist in the transfer market anymore, schedules don't exist in
this
football.
This is true.
It's do or die. Constantly, and I mean, this is maybe why we're seeing more individualism come to the fore, because systems, you need time to make them. Yeah. And if they're in time, you ain't getting them. But we're going to move on now to Squawker Scout. I've asked the guys and myself to come up with a player they're excited to look and watch this season in the Premier League, or around Europe if you want to be a bit more exotic about it, based on their numbers last season that you think they're going to tear it up. Nick, who have you gone for?
Morgan Schneidlin.
Ooh.
God, yeah. I miss him.
Morgan Schneidlin, more tackles and interceptions since 2011 than any other Premier League midfielder. His pass accuracy has never been below 85% in the last five seasons. In fact, 85% was the lowest season. The next lowest was 89%. Mm. Everton without Schneidlin last season, 1.29 points per game. Everton with Schneidlin last season, 2.14 points per game. He's still just 27 as well. He's going to have another two or three years at this level because his game doesn't really rely on him being super pacey. He is brilliant. It was weird that towards the tail end of last season, because he was injured for most of the first half, Everton fans were... for some reason, I follow quite a lot of Everton fans on Twitter. I'm not sure why, but maybe they're just really entertaining.
Good value.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah, and they were all ranting and raving about Morgan Schneidlin, and I couldn't see anyone else talking about it. But whenever I watched them play, I mean... Incredible. It's weird that Idrissa Gueye seemed to be the one that was getting most plaudits. Morgan Schneidlin is fantastic.
And in that double pivot, you can just see it working.
He's brilliant. And the good thing is he can play holding, or he can play a bit further up. He can play in a two, or he can play in a three. He's genuinely one of the better midfielders in the league. He's probably in the top 10 central midfielders in the league. He's a fantastic player.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout. But
And, you know, World Cup year. He's going to...
Mm.
Have you seen the competition for French central midfield positions?
Cartoon fans, he's going to go Super Saiyan.
Yeah, I can totally see. And they've bought some really good foil for him as well in Klaassen, in Rooney, who can also play midfield.
No, he can't.
Oh, let's not open that can of worms. We have not got the time.
With Klaassen. Davies is a really good foil for... I just think he's underrated and he's going to have a great season next season.
Fair enough. Carl, who is your player to
with a nod to Klaassen, I think he's going to be fantastic. But it's Christian Eriksen. I could watch that boy play. The secret for Spurs last season to bridge that gap and say how they were going to recover was Eriksen just kicking up one notch. And I think, again, he's going to... Again, just take up another notch and really, really prove that he is one of the top central midfielders in Europe. It's astonishing how good he is.
Yeah.
I remember when he first signed, he came over to Spurs. The fitness coach Egg said, "Of course, Eriksen was going to be good in the Premier League. He's just dancing around tactically clueless rugby players."
And he was right.
I was going to say Eriksen is one of the most intelligent players in the league.
Yeah.
Well, watching him play is brilliant.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal player.
He's basically Magnus Magnusson, isn't he? That's basically.
Yeah.
Hang on. He was the guy who did the quizzes. He's not the chess grandmaster, is he?
You're thinking of Carlsen, who's the chess grandmaster.
I am. Magnus Magnusson did
he hosted Masterminds.
Well, I'm not editing
this out.
I've
started, so I'll finish.
And he often does. He doesn't. He's a playmaker. Please go on.
He's the guy for Spurs. You could conceivably see Spurs. I mean, Kane's not going. Dele Alli, unfortunately, due to his corporate ties, you could see him leaving. But I'd say it's very important Spurs don't lose Christian Eriksen. Wrap him up in cotton wool, keep him fit, because he's the guy.
And he can play central midfield, in the hole, or left wing.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Well, there we go. I'm going to go... I was going to be boring and say something like Paul Pogba, because I think second season with him, with Lukaku, to find with his long balls and stuff, it's going to be absolutely sensational.
I'm worried about Pogba.
Please, this is a podcast for another time. We are running short on minutes. I'm going to say Will Hughes, Watford.
Yeah.
It's going to be great to finally see him in the Premier League, playing for Marco Silva.
Only for 8 million as well.
Oh, talk about value.
Well, Spurs got
Eriksen said value
for,
doesn't exist,
it?
But wait, exactly. Yeah. I can't believe that.
That's ridiculous. 11 million now with all the add-ons, because he obviously played enough, but 11 million for Christian Eriksen, I don't know how, that was daylight robbery.
Mm. So if you do listen to the podcast, the title might be, oh, Will Hughes, the English Christian Eriksen. It's not going to be that, I promise.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Quick round of Would You Rather. Now, I'm going to ask both Carl and Nick a series of questions, basically answer A or answer B. Don't really give explanations. We want the prime meat, none of the flab. So, Community Shield, proper trophy, or glorified friendly, Carl?
Glorified friendly.
Glorified friendly.
Good lads. What would motivate you, leaving Messi's shadow or Qatari millions?
They're millions, baby.
Good man.
Such a loaded question. Messi's proof that a small man can cast a large shadow.
There we go. You're only allowed to say a very
Qatari short millions.
Okay. Well, at least we're having consensus in the room. That's always nice. Nice or Napoli?
Napoli, purely for the badge. I love that badge.
Well, it is a nice badge. Napoli, purely for Pamsik.
Oh.
Love that guy.
Oh.
He's like all of the...
He should be like an artisanal coffee maker in Dalston.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. Mm. Yeah, love it.
And he makes balls just like he would be an artisanal.
We'll see.
Seagulls or magpies? It's a relegation bird off.
Magpies. There are a lot of magpies near where I live. I'm very conscious about talking to them.
I don't like seagulls, so it's going to have to be magpies.
We did agree earlier that they're bad birds.
Horrible.
They are.
Mine?
Yeah, exactly. You're Mbappe. Well done. Congratulations. Barcelona this summer or Real Madrid next summer?
Real Madrid next summer.
Real Madrid next summer. He gets to learn finishing from Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay? He's not going to be Messi. What is there to learn from Messi? Oh, how to be a genius.
What is there to learn from Messi?
What is there to learn from Messi? Okay. How to be a genius. Ronaldo can teach you so much.
This is true. He is like the most self-made footballer going, isn't he? Very quick for you questions to get through. I say quick, they're quite hefty, but we'll get through them. Question from off Twitter. And as I always say, thank you so much for sending these questions in. They're absolutely fantastic. We were saying before the pod, they go from the philosophical to the incredibly specific, and we love all of them, each and every single one of them. But the first one is from the football hipster, who asks, what should work better this season, Spurs' settled 11 or City's ability to play multiple systems with multiple players?
Spurs. Yeah. The problem, as I've said there, the problem with Pep is Pep requires very, very intelligent players that can play three or four different systems. That's only really applicable to maybe the top 1% of world football. Mm. So if you're someone, it's great. It's great if you're Kevin De Bruyne. If you're Otamendi and you have to shift in game from a four at the back to a three at the back. Oh, no, they scored.
If only he was Eric Dier, hey?
Yeah. If only he was Eric Dier. Yeah, Spurs.
I'll go for City. I'm a bit worried about Spurs' midfield options right now. Mm. I know I've been saying a lot that every day they don't sell a top player is another win in the transfer window, but they are a bit light in midfield.
Mm. Well, they just loaned out Josh Onnemar as
that
well.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and that's an odd one. One thing we've argued previously on the podcast is, they don't need to sign people because they've got so many young players that Poch is going to bring through and blood in the team. But now they're loaning them out. That's a worry, I guess.
Alarm bells.
Yeah,
being loaned out from Spurs is a warning. I feel as if
reports suggest that Canary. Poch has changed his approach on that. He's not casting them out. He actually thinks game time might be helpful for guys like Onoma. So hopefully for the future for him and Spurs, that could be good.
Hope he can come back in January.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Maybe. Damar B asks, who is going to be more frustrated for playing time this season, Ilkay Gundogan or Bernardo Silva at Manchester City?
Gundogan, because he's made of tissue.
Balsa wood.
Balsa wood is a much better analogy for human flesh.
He's great. I love him. He's fantastic. But unfortunately, his body's failing on him. So yeah. I imagine I'd like to think he's got a very nice hobby that he can occupy himself with.
Maybe balsa wood's a hobby.
I hope he's not.
He finds a kindred spirit in the snappy wood.
I hope he's not cooped up in an apartment just watching box set DVDs.
Although, remember when he got injured at Dortmund and ballooned? Maybe that is what he does. Mm. Just watch box sets and eats chips.
Yeah. Just listens to Porcelain by Moby on repeat all day.
Porcelain, that's another material that's very good. Yeah. Very good. Moving on now. And a very relevant question considering what we were just talking about. What next for Jack Wilshere, asks Merengues on the mic.
You
Nick.
Beg. You beg and you plead and you beg Ronald Koeman to take you to Everton.
Ronald Koeman, will this put Porcelain Jack Wilshere under Ronald Koeman's
feet? You beg and you plead.
He'll run him into dust.
He'll forge him into something.
Yeah, like a grave.
You can't forge Porcelain.
That's like the opposite of what you do with Porcelain.
I think Evan's the best. He's not... The Bournemouth experiment didn't work.
Ah, when he was fit to play, he was good.
It didn't work for me.
I think he did 7 out of 10. He didn't do. Jack Wilshere obviously still thinks that he's a top player at a top club. I don't think he's good enough for where Arsenal want to be. I still think he should go abroad somewhere. He should seek Serie A or La Liga.
I love him.
Somewhere warmer climate, better for the bones.
Yeah, somewhere a little bit more. Somewhere a little bit more forgiving to midfielders. Mm. Get a bit more time on the ball. Get snapped a bit less. Maybe somewhere like Inter Milan or something.
Go to Fiorentina.
Go to Fiorentina.
Oh, Borja Valero's gone. They need someone else to replace him.
That's a great shout. I think, do that. But Wilshere doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who really wants to enjoy continental culture.
Let's not unpack that. Let's move on.
let's stride forward into the night.
Yes. Jash Vassaraj asks, whom should Liverpool sign if Coutinho leaves and which centre-back if Virgil van Dijk does not join?
Can I take this first?
Oh, it's tough, man. I don't think Coutinho is going to leave personally, but if he does, he's kind of an irreplaceable player. He's
Jean-Michel Seri,
yeah, maybe. I mean, the whole like,
I guess it depends whether you want to replace him as this central figure in the midfield or as a winger. Because I think they've already replaced him as a winger in Salah.
Exactly. So they've got the winger option. That's kind of sorted. But as a central midfield, that is tough. Yeah. There's not many players like Philippe Coutinho out there. You know, if they'd got Naby Keita, it would have been fine.
But ideally, you'd want both, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, ideally, you'd want. Of course, ideally, you'd want both. Mm. But if they lose him, he's a really tricky one to replace, and everyone's going to know you have money. So, I think that's really tough. As for centre back, Malang Sarr potentially very athletic centre back playing at Nice, very young.
Just the inexperience, though, isn't it? You kind of want a ready-made guy for Klopp.
Yeah,
he's going to expose your defenders to so much one-on-one battles. They need to own them.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough for Liverpool because we've seen in the past they do struggle sometimes to attract the players that they want. So I think it's really, really tough. Mm. I think those are two players that they want on their books come the start of the season. So, you know, see if it works out for them.
Mm. I mean, good on them for trying to shop in the top shelf stuff. Because, I mean, if they would have got Keita and Van Dijk, I mean, that would have probably been the best transfer window in Europe.
I still think they'll get Van Dijk personally. Mm. I still think that's on.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool fans
are quietly confident about it as well, aren't they?
I think it's
like a done deal.
Yeah, I think Van Dijk's done deal, and well, that's just an opinion. I don't have any inside info, and I think they will keep Coutinho. Mm. I think Barcelona will not be willing to part with as much as Liverpool are willing to hold out for. If that makes sense.
Mm. Absolutely. Any names for you, Carl, to replace these guys?
I'd quite like to see Renato Sanches get a season under his belt.
Ooh, at Liverpool?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I mean, World Cup year. He has to play somewhere.
Yeah, that's a shout.
And I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think he's overrated, not a big fan of him, but when he is good, he's not just a box-to-box player. He can really spot a through ball. He can hit those passes from nowhere.
He can do a lot. And when James went to Bayern, it was one of those weird, do they not care about... His Instagram is haunting. He looks as if he's on the very fun, glossy Instagram filtered house arrest because he doesn't get to play.
Poor lad.
Yes. Free Renato Sanches. It's very, very annoying that Douglas Costa has gone to Juventus. I can't believe that happened. Oh my God, Douglas Costa in Premier
League. So nonchalant, are they like, well, we'll just sign him, it's fine.
Under the radar.
He'd be fantastic for Liverpool in that system. Mm. In terms of centre back. Aren't people trying to buy Gibson for a lot of money?
Tough position, that.
Yeah.
Tough
yeah.
position. Maybe go all in and try to get Mascherano back. Maybe.
I don't think he would play centre-back in that system, though, would he? He'd be a midfielder.
If you could get Ben Gibson from Middlesbrough, if you could get him for a reasonable amount.
Chambers, maybe.
20 million, that could work.
Mm. Tough one.
Mm. Very tough one. We'll have to see how it goes. Our good friend with the wonderful name, Pepperoni Finn and Crispy.
Finn and Crispy.
A pizza fan there. Asks, can Monaco upset the odds again and win Ligue 1 this season in spite of PSG signing one of the world's best players? And what chance do Lyon, Nice and Marseille have to kind of mix things up as well?
We were talking about this earlier. Ligue 1 is going to be great next season. Yeah. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of teams that want
to
win.
Bielsa's gone to Lille as well.
Yeah. he's going to get scalps left, right and centre, obviously. Mm. So there's just like there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of teams at like sort of the right point in a project.
Mm.
And a lot of teams with a lot to prove. I do think next season's going to be PSG's, I think they are going to win it, but the season after is going to be really difficult for them because if Monaco continue to get their recruitment and they progress with the players they've managed to keep well, and like Youri Tielemans progresses as everyone thinks he does, etc. Yeah, I know, right? and Lyon continue their project, invest the Lacazette money well, which they undoubtedly would because Jean-Michel Aulas is probably one of the best chairmen in world football. Mm. And Marseille continue to go at the rate they're going out. You know, this is a really tough, really tough season. And Nice, so many of their squad are so young. So it's really going to be challenging for PSG the next couple of seasons.
What happens next summer when PSG sign Bale? And then the summer after that when they sign whoever else is
big? You can't keep buying 10/7s. There are other positions.
Have you not seen their squad? Come on. Come on, they've already been there.
PSG have just, I mean, we spoke about it so much earlier, but they've just changed the game. Mm. That's the thing. They've changed the game. So, yeah, they can keep signing the most incredible players ever. But
unless they win the Champions League, which is what their goal is.
Yeah, but they're not going to have it all their own way, I think. Mm.
Mm. Which is good, because I really enjoyed League One. League One?
You enjoy that too?
Yeah, I do enjoy that as well. But I enjoyed League One last season, so hopefully it is good again. Luke Hoban asks, can you discuss the rules of British quotas for squads, and will we see English players moving abroad or moving between other clubs because of it?
Is this a reference to the homegrown rule?
Yeah.
So homegrown rule, you have to be playing in the Premier League for 5 seasons.
Mm. 5 seasons from under the age of 21. Yes. You have to have started before the age of 21.
What's really interesting is I think Rooney qualifies as homegrown for both Everton and Man United. Yeah. Which is
he's great. Fabregas qualifies as homegrown for Arsenal as well. Mm. That was the big like, oh, it's a great. Oh, wait a minute, no. That's the quote. Can I see English players?
I mean, we've kind of seen it with Will Hughes and Shalabar moving to Watford. They've definitely gone for an English call.
I wouldn't say that's because of quotas. I say that's because they're ambitious young players and they don't want to be saddled at their academies anymore.
And maybe that's the key rather than quotas.
Yeah. In theory, it should work, but football is a very complicated. England has a lot of money. It's a very nice place to fluff your pillows if you're a young English footballer. I could see the quota system working perhaps better in a smaller market like France or Italy. But in the Premier League, if you're going on 50 grand a week and you're doing whatever, go on loan.
You're going to stay put on you. I mean, the whole thing of Loftus-Cheek being on 60 grand and he hadn't really ever been a first-team player.
It's one of the... I mean, the Solanke one was really interesting because he was... I keep trying to buy him in FIFA and he always wants 100 grand a week.
God damn it, Dominic.
And I think it was interesting where he said for his like judicial system, he said, no, people keep saying I want 100 grand a week. I play for 15 grand a week. I just want to play football.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's going to be a player. So hopefully English players now are going, no, I want game time. And again, World Cup year, hopefully someone's going to do something.
Mm. One thing that George Ellicker, a regular contributor to the pod, has always said is that if English players want to play more, go to the Championship. And as you might have heard, it's not just that floozy of a friendly at Wembley taking place this weekend, the Community Shield. The Championship and the rest of the Football League kicks off as well. I'm sorry we left it till the end, but I think it was worth its own little slot, so we're going to do it the justice it deserves. What are we all expecting from the league this season? Obviously, last season, Newcastle kind of met expectation, but Brighton did really well. Uh-huh. Huddersfield came from, I think they were 19th the season before, and under David Wagner just became what they are, and they won through the playoff final where they met Reading, who I think they finished 20th the year before. Mm-hmm. So, as we know, it's a very competitive league. Anything can happen. Who are you looking at and thinking they could be a team to really watch this season, Nick?
To Fulham. Obviously, team, great talent, really interesting.
And they've kept most of their talents as well. And signed a striker whose initials and shirt number equal AK-47, which is what you want.
Which is exactly what you want out of your footballer. You want him to be named after
right kind
a
of
rifle.
Weapon. Yeah.
That's always been my philosophy around football, is name yourself after a gun.
Why did not give Mata the 18 shirt? and then carbine on the end.
Michael Carrick, M16.
boys, please.
Sorry, I get carried
away. It's getting a bit Call of Duty, isn't it? Sorry.
I also quite like the look of Leeds. They've got guys who can get them goals. Mm. I think with a bit more luck, Leeds could get comfortably into the playoff spots or even chance for the two automatic spots.
I mean, they've got that guy who's coming from Juventus, Joaquin Boy, I think, who's a Rayola agent. Yeah. Rayola's his agent,
client.
I should say. And he's highly rated, so, you know.
Another two to keep on is Villa and Birmingham. I think either of those, one of those projects is going to go well, man. And one of them is going to burn, and I don't know which one it is, but I cannot wait to see it. I want to see John Terry relegated.
Oh my heart.
That is what I want in life.
What was that brand that started? Was it Wembley FC one year where they did like an FA Cup team where they got all the old legends together and they played like two rounds of the FA Cup at the very start? That's what Harry Reynolds did at Birmingham. He's bringing in Ashley Cole to play in midfield. Morrison's on their radar.
I quite like that as a rogue move, but it's nuts.
So red now.
It's nuts. Yeah. And what Aston Villa are doing, it's also nuts. I mean, they've taken so many risks.
Yeah.
So many risks.
I think they've still got a higher wage bill than some Premier League.
Yeah, yeah.
Well.
Amazing.
And they're spending so much money. This is like QPR times a million, but not even in the Premier League. It is bonkers.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see it. If John Terry gets relegated, there should be a national holiday. A national holiday.
Nick, if you
JT relegation
Nick,
day.
If you don't mind me asking, who do you support?
Not Chelsea.
Yeah. You surprised me. Carl, any teams you've got your eye on?
Fulham. I think Fulham are great. I think last time I was on this podcast, Marshall Bailey from football.london described Fulham as like a baby Monaco. In terms of their just loads of young players, loads of attacking football. So yeah, I think they're going to be worth watch. Wolves as well, because what is that?
Oh yeah, God, I forgot about Wolves, man. Just,
and the thing is,
Ruben Neves.
The thing is, people know about Ruben Neves coming in for what, 16 million from Porto, who widely regarded as one of the best young holding midfielders in the world. But they've also got Diego Jota from Atletico Madrid. Yep. Nuno from ex-Valencia, ex-Porto, is now their manager.
Yep.
They brought through that guy who used to play for. I mean, I'm sorry, I wrote an article about them earlier, but they've just.
I completely forgot about Wolves.
But after
it's
Neves,
so rogue.
After Neves, though, there's so many other names of guys they just brought in. Being like, yeah, let's just see how it goes. Yeah. I mean, it's either going to click or it's just going to be like, it's going to be hilarious.
What are you doing?
I know.
Fine. Okay. This is a weird Football Manager game save we've imported, isn't it?
You know when Rodgers was doing very well at Liverpool and he had the whole meme of him looking up on how am I doing, boss? I hope that someone's already got Nuno there and Stan Kulis in the crowd. Just getting the template ready to make the memes. Yeah. I just hope it's happening.
It's going to be a great championship season. If only just look at the derbies.
Yeah,
Sheffield derby, Second City derby.
Birmingham derby.
Oh my goodness.
Derby. Jesus.
Yeah.
My favourite derby.
Absolutely.
Terence Trent.
There's going to be a lot of 12 o'clock kickoffs. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of 12 o'clock kickoffs.
Absolutely. And actually starting the season against Fulham, it could be a great match, is Norwich City. And they've had a really interesting summer. I'm going to pick them as my team to watch. Their new manager, Daniel Farke, as most people seem to be in the Championship coming through at the moment with loads of hype, an ex-Dortmund coach. He's basically been appointed by the guy who appointed Wagner at Huddersfield. And they've now signed Huddersfield's academy director as well. So they're basically moving the whole franchise to East Anglia. And hopefully, we'll have the same results. They've already gone out and signed a load of players from the Bundesliga and all around as well. So I'm hoping the Canaries... another Huddersfield, because I thought that story last season in the Championship was fantastic. They've got a bigger budget than Huddersfield as well, so they could do it even better, we'll have to see. Are you laughing at Fark?
No, I'm laughing at how Partridge it was saying, we're moving the whole franchise to East Anglia.
Oh, what do you make of the gegenpressing of Norwich? Anyway, we'll leave that there. I've already shamed myself. Yeah, that's all we've got time for. We're going to go and discuss the pedestrianisation of Norwich City Centre now and many other Partridge-esque things. But yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for all your questions once again. They've been fantastic. Carl, thank you for coming on.
It's great.
The people's champ.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, Carl?
You can find me at Twitter at Anchorman616. And I've got a weekly football podcast called Talking Tactics, which goes out every single Tuesday. It's me, a guy called Have Hope, who's very strong in his opinions, and Daniel Tulloch, who records it all from Carolina. So we're going to be talking about Neymar again. I'm going to be eating a lot of humble pie because I've said for the last month it wasn't going to happen. So I feel silly.
Listen to it. It's great.
Do it. And Nick, thank you for joining on. You're going to edit this one, aren't you?
I'm going to edit this one. Listen to the Squawker Talker more, though.
Yeah. Listen to all podcasts. They're great.
Yeah, do that. And also leave us a review if you want to on iTunes. The season's coming up. And oh, actually, that's a thing worth mentioning. On Monday, we're bringing the second show of the week back, aren't
we? It's back.
The season's back. We're back. We've got James Benge from the London Evening Standard.
The big favourite. We're bringing the Bonge back.
Carl, we love you, but James is also, he's a regular as well. It's fine.
Have you ever had them both on the
podcast?
I'll
be a cult classic.
I think you have been on before with James, haven't you?
Possibly.
Yeah, we'll have to go through the archives and bring out the best bits of Carl and James. But, I mean, that's all we've got time for this week. Lots of best bits in this one. Listen to the podcast again a second time, because why not? And see you again next week for two podcasts a week. Goodbye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.